Since we covered the hand illustration in the group tape, perhaps the most valuable help that I could be to you today would be giving you some ideas on putting sections of the Word of God into your life through meditation. I think that Bible study leaders in general, and of course other Christians too, have some commonly expressed problems, such as, one, I have trouble applying Scripture to my daily living. Two, I can't seem to relate my personal experiences to Scripture. Three, I would like to teach more effectively, but I have trouble making Scripture relevant to my group. Four, I try to memorize Scripture, but I have trouble remembering the verses. Five, I don't know how to have God's greatest promises, such as peace and success and wisdom and joy in sorrow and courage and this kind of thing, come true to my own life. Well, these and other problems, teacher, can be cleared up by learning to draw insights from protracted time before the Lord in the Scriptures. Seeing insights in Scripture will allow God's Word to sink more deeply into your mind, making it easier to memorize, making it more effective in applying it, and more successfully make you able to teach it. It will liven up your personal quiet times as you begin to see how relevant the Scripture really is. Now, maybe you're thinking, along with me, how do we draw insights from the Scripture? And you may be asking also the question that I had, what do I look for? Well, I think that probably the most common verses that lend themselves to insights are the verses that contain a cause and effect sequence, sort of an if you do so-and-so, then God does so-and-so type of thing. These verses are called conditional verses. That is, there is a condition, a cause to be met, and then there is a result or an effect of that condition being met. Another type of verse that insights can be drawn from is one containing promises or commands. For instance, John 15:17 says, "This I command you, that you love one another." Well, this is an example of a command verse. Now, let me just give you some steps that you might take in seeing insights in the Word. Step one would be to determine what is the cause in this verse. That is, what is the condition to be met? And what is the effect, or what is the thing that God will do? So write this out. The condition to be met is, for instance, in Psalm 37:4, it says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, the delight thyself in the Lord, this is the condition or the cause, and then the effect or the result is, "And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Step two, take the effect, that is the thing that God will do, which in this case is, "He shall give thee the desires of thine heart," and turn it into a personal question that relates to your life. Now, ladies, this is an easy step for us to just try and think, well, we could skip over that. I just want to encourage you that the more you do all four of these steps, then the more you will see the significance of this particular one. It is a very simple step, but it does several things. And most especially, it begins that psychological process called internalizing the Scripture. And perhaps a simpler definition of internalizing would be seeing how important it is to me. Now, we said that the effect or the result is that he shall give thee the desires of thine heart in this particular verse. So your personal question then could be, how can I have the desires of my heart? Step three is to decide, what is the key word in the cause or in the conditions to be met? And then define it. And of course, many verses might have more than one condition. In that case, you need to choose the key word in each condition. This is sort of visualizing what to do by expanding the meaning of the key words. Now, for instance, in Psalm 37:4, what is the cause? Well, the cause is, or the condition is, delight thyself in the Lord. Well, what is the key word in that condition? Delight. All right, how would you define delight? Perhaps this way, allowing the Lord to be the focus of our greatest pleasure and extreme satisfaction and joy, and giving him thanks for all things. This is delighting in the Lord. And then the fourth step is work out some way to make it true for you. a help in this is checking cross-references for the word delight in your concordance. And you'll find, for instance, that in Isaiah 58:13 and 14, there is revealed a key way to delight yourself in the Lord. Let me give you these steps of delighting yourself in the Lord as they are given in Isaiah 58:13 and 14. It says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. The Lord hath spoken it." Well, how could I do that? All right, what about something like this? One, you could plan your Sunday activities during the week before and write them down on paper, and your list might look something like this. And remember now, we're planning on focusing on the Lord instead of on us. So our list might say something like, do personal Bible study, have a time of prayer, read some chapters in a Christian missionary biography, and so on. All right, secondly, to purpose to keep from doing the following things on Sunday. And then you might make a list like this. I purpose to not have my own fun, and I don't mean by that not have fun, but that is not focusing my activities on myself rather than on the Lord. I purpose to keep from carrying on business, buying and selling. I purpose to keep from following my own desires and pleasure. I purpose to keep from talking idly. And then thirdly, make another list and say, these are the things I purpose to do on this following Sunday. I purpose to enjoy the day. And, you know, don't think that just because you're not focusing on yourself that the day will not be a pleasure, because if you're focusing on Jesus Christ, then it'll be very pleasurable. So I purpose to enjoy the day. Secondly, rather than complain, I purpose to find things about what I am doing in which I can take delight, and then I'm going to tell somebody else about it. I purpose to have every activity be an honor to the Lord. And then fourthly, after such a day, just take a bit of time to write out the true desires of your heart before God. And you'll be surprised at how different this list of true desires will be from a list that you might have made up before spending that day in study and meditation and prayer. Well, in concluding, there are many problems of getting the Word of God into our daily lives and vice versa, which will clear up when we do a purposeful study in learning to draw insights from the Word. And by clearly seeing what God has actually intended our lives to be and the conditions for living that kind of life, we can be more readily able to obey Him in order to conform our lives to God's plan. After successfully applying the steps and experiencing the results, you'll see that you have vital applications and information to pass on to others. Teacher, I'm thinking of a good illustration that you might want to use with your class when you're talking about this matter of meditation. And that is, take a ball of twine or yarn that you've prepared ahead of time by tying a dollar bill or a $5 bill at the end of the string and then wrapping it into a ball. And after talking about meditation, take out the ball of twine and begin to unwind it. Maybe someone in the group, you'll have them help you. And comment on the time that this is taking you, and you wonder about the worth of it. And then, of course, eventually somebody will come to the money and make the point that the time involved in unraveling God's truths make us rich in wisdom and understanding and change lives. And that's my prayer for you today, that you will take the time to become rich in wisdom, in an understanding, and in a God-given ability through His Word that will change lives. Goodbye for now.